I'm doing a series about prayer. It was really only going to be one. There was a particular aspect of prayer, or at least of calling on God, that I wanted to look at. And prayer is just one of those things, you know, if you want to get into, you know, your scriptures, you want to know the Bible, you do go on any of these Bible web-based things, Bible Gateway, Blue Letter Bible, put prayer in, and just begin to follow some of those leads. And, you know, it's a deep pool. And so it turned into a 6-part series. So, and it's a bit of an unfolding revelation. Everything, every time I think, oh, there's the plan, then I sense maybe the Holy Spirit is saying, yeah, maybe for this week, look at this. So, this week we're looking at, oh my gosh, a very brief look at what did Jesus pray about? As in all things, we are encouraged to look to Jesus as our first example. Yeah? That is a given out here. We do get, don't we? Look to Jesus. Glorious. So this thought came about, let's have a look at what he was, you know, what he was praying about. And I did a look through Luke, and I looked at all the times that he prayed, and I was going down that road, and then I got to John 17. So we go to the next slide, and this is what we're going to be looking at today. In fact, I've abandoned all the Luke stuff. Any one of you who do teaching, you know, you do that. You have to get to this big load of stuff, and then you've got to cut it. And it hurt me a bit, because I thought it was really interesting. But I really felt the Spirit was leading us to this prayer, what's known as the high priestly prayer, from John 17. So if I can have the next slide, please. And we'll just have a quick look at the context of this. Okay, first line. Okay, so Gospel of John is fascinating, absolutely fascinating. Which is why, you know, there are four Gospels, because they're all so different. I'm much more in a Bill Johnson mode today, because I just haven't got the oxygen to be able to do the sort of meh. So you're going to have a bit of a calmer day today. So this is in the upper room, and you know, you look at John and the 20-something whatever chapters of John, and this huge chunk is in the upper room, is around the Last Supper. And importantly, one of my favorite parts in the whole Bible is, you know, chapter 13, the washing of the feet. Oh, just meditate on that sometimes. It's just amazing. So this is a long discourse to his inner circle, his key people. And he's doing some key teaching. And it really is an incredible time of teaching. And in fact, they say to him, oh, we're getting some of this stuff now. You're not talking in riddles. You're not talking in parables. You're saying it like it is. And it's very straight teaching. It's about the, you know, where the vine, the Holy Spirit, you know, and all that sort of crucial stuff. And then the climax of this whole section, this sort of 13 through 17, is it gets to this prayer. And he prays to the Father. And it is the most amazing insight into their relationship. You almost feel it almost intruding in a sense, because he looks at this. So it's about his consecration and his glorification, which is via the cross. I'll come back later on to the word about glory, but just that phrase, his glorification via the cross. What Jesus did to be glorified involved going to the cross. As a whole. And then he prayed for his disciples that were there around him. And then he prayed for the disciples of the future, which will include us. And that's what I want to focus on when we go through this. So Rod is going to come up and read for me, because I don't think I've got enough oxygen to read this lot. Rod's going to come and read this, the actual prayer. So we're going to go right the way through the prayer, the whole of John 17. I can't see if that's on.
as John 17:1-26, Jesus prays for himself. After Jesus said this, he looked towards heaven and prayed, Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world. And I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with you, with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that Scripture would be fulfilled. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so they may have the full measure of joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, and they too may be truly sanctified. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have looked and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you love, that you have sent me. I have made you known to them, and will continue to make you known, in order that the love you have for me may be in them, and that I myself may be in them.
Thank you, Rod. I'd asked Rod to read it like that, slowly, to feed on it, to soak it up. And sometimes you need to do that. I've always found this chapter difficult. It seems very wordy. There's repetition and there's layer upon layer. And like I said, when you put it in the context of this, his last few hours before the cross, that you must understand that that context means it heightens its importance. Yeah, and he's gone through this incredible teaching about the Holy Spirit and all that. And he goes from here, once he finishes this prayer, they go out and he goes to Mount of Olives, he goes to Gethsemane, and he has that other incredible prayer encounter. Such a temptation to step off on that, but I'll stay with this. So I've just been thinking about this fact that he is about to go to the cross. He's been heading that way right through his ministry. And yet, in that window where he prays there, that bit where he prays for us, he prays for future disciples. Jesus was praying for you in that moment. That's what I just want us to have a look at today. It's a huge thing. I cannot really do this justice. I've wrestled with some of the words in this. There's just two words I want to look at. Well, first, I want you to get hold of that. He is praying for you. Please. You know, if you're thinking, if you're doing a study or you want some time out or you're not doing a study, just look at this. Just think of that. Before he went to the Garden of Gethsemane and he wrestled, he took time to pray for you. Bang. Okay. Can I have the next slide, please? Okay, so this is the bit at the end. This is what we want to focus on. And I want you to look at those two verses I've highlighted there. Okay, so he's talking about disciples to come, not the disciples in front of him. He knows that disciples are going to come from out the world, following on from the testimony of the apostles. And he's saying to you, I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them, and you in me. So Christ in us, and Father God in Christ. So that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know. So I just want you to notice there, that again, it's the unity It's the unity of the family of God that is such a powerful witness. Okay, can I have the next slide, please? This word glory, I've wrestled a bit with this, and I really can't do it justice, but I'm just going to give you a bit of a hook that's spoken to me. So, glory, from keo to seem, primarily signifies an opinion, an estimate, and hence the honor resulting from a good opinion. Now, just think about this. We get a bit messed up over this word glory. We get a bit confused because we don't understand that there's a difference between, if you like, a manifest powerful presence, like a shining light or something, and the glory that he's talking about. In the Old Testament, there's the Shekinah glory that filled, you know, the presence of God that filled the temple that couldn't stand, overpowering. This word in the Greek, you see, it comes from the root to seem. You think, well, this is quite ordinary in a sense. And it's about this thing of having a good estimate of someone. So when we say we give God glory, we are saying, God, you are the greatest. We acknowledge that you are the greatest. You are the highest. I love that last song, Al, that new song you introduced. That is an amazing song because it just lifts up the name of the Lord. I thought that was just fantastic. I wish I could have sung it. When I get sorted, I will be. So you see, it's about that whole thing of honor. And remember, and this is far deeper than I can cover, than I can even get now. But let me just tell you what's working for me. Yeah? When Jesus was baptized, and again at the transfiguration, Father God, a voice came from heaven and spoke and said, I'll put the two together, so it said, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased, listen to him. So the Father was giving honor and glory to the son. He was saying, the Father is saying, I am pleased with the son. I am pleased with Jesus. His name is high. His name has got glory on it. His name has got value and honor. It's to be esteemed. And that, we're going somewhere with this, honestly. That name, the name of Jesus, that's what you have come into when you accepted Christ as your Savior. You came from a place, it doesn't matter how good or bad you are, you came from a place totally outside into intimate place, into being one with Christ. Kingdom of darkness or the kingdom of light. There's no spectrum there. It's not like you joined an organization and you came in at a low rank, and if you work hard and you're good and you behave yourself, you get promotion. You go straight into the highest level because you're in Christ. And he says, I've given you the glory that you've gave me. In other words, this is why when you go in prayer before the Father, it doesn't matter how you feel. It doesn't matter what you have done. It doesn't matter what people have said about you. The Father is saying, this person is coming to me in my Son, who I am pleased with. I just encourage you, as I need to do, to try and connect the teaching and the word with the feelings. Try to let this teaching dictate your feelings. We've all been there. We've all been in times I don't feel like praying. I've messed up. I haven't prayed proper forgiveness. I haven't said sorry 43 and a half times. I haven't done my little rituals. You are in Christ. His name is on you. Paul said, I am the least. He said, I was a man of violence and a blasphemer and a persecutor of the church. And in a moment, he came into Christ. He went away for 3 years in the desert and he learned the things that he had to teach. But his position in Christ wasn't changed. And that's where you are. That's where you live from. That's where you pray from. That's where you're being. You can mess up. You've got free will. But remember, he said, you are not. He says this twice. This is why the repetition of that prayer is really interesting. He said, you are not of this world. He said, Father, they're no more of this world than I am. You're not of this world. You've got the Holy Spirit and Christ within you. But you've got Christ upon you, in a sense, in his name. And that's why the devil is scared sick of you. He's scared sick of you. But so often, we don't realize who we are in Christ. And we don't realize the authority and the power that is ours in Christ. And so we let him play his games. Oh, guys, you're in Christ. He has given you his glory. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? Back to the story of the servants. You have been given much. You've been given the very name of Jesus. You've been given the honor that Christ has. One day you're going to cast it at his feet. Hallelujah. Okay. I hope you got something out of that. That may be the main thing I was trying to say in terms of, if you like, pastoral sense. Please try and think of that when you're having those times where yourself and the enemy is telling you rubbish. Please try and think of that. That expression, Father, I've given them the glory you gave me. It's almost like you don't even have to argue. You say, yeah, it's a done deal. Jesus said. Okay, the other thing was this unity business. Unity. How many denominations are there? 40 million. How much unity have we got among ourselves? How much unity did we have during the match yesterday? Just fickle stuff. May they be one. This is quite deep as well. It's not just in belief. We're not just saying, yeah, we agree the same stuff. Isn't that fine? We can sign an agreement. But it's a new reality. You see, when Pentecost happened, something completely new was born. The body of Christ, the church of Christ, was born at Pentecost. It's a totally unique thing. And you are part of it. And it was born to show unity. So you already are part of this. Yeah, that's already been done. When you came into Christ, you were joined to his body, the worldwide church. Doesn't matter how many denominations. So there's that oneness. And in Corinthians, it says, but one body, one faith. We'll rush through this bit, I think. How are we doing for time? Yeah, we'll rush through. Okay, can we have the next slide? Thank you. Yeah, so we're all baptized by one spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews, Gentiles, slave, free, men, or given the one spirit. So there is a oneness. In other words, when he was saying, Father, would you do this? Okay, he was saying, Father, would you make them one as we are one? And then when Jesus' grave ascended, Spirit came, Pentecost, church is born, the Father, you could almost see, answered that prayer. That's what was happening. There was a oneness. So we're one. Okay, next. Jesus ups the stakes, doesn't he? He doesn't say, Lord, give them a unity that will enable them somehow to get through a meeting. Somehow to agree on what colour chairs they're going to have in the church. Give them some sort of unity. He says, make them one. Give them the unity even as you and I are one. Oh my gosh. Surely that must be a mistake. That's quite a high standard. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, from eternal to eternal, in total relationship and what can you say about the Trinity? And he's speaking about that level of unity. Maybe I should have made this a separate sermon. Because what I'm saying is, Jesus has said that prayer to the Father, okay? May they be one even we are one. The Father wants to answer Jesus' prayer, I'm guessing. Is that a safe? So I think what it does practically is turn it around and say, what are we doing to prevent unity? It's almost like saying, you know, if gravity, if it's going to happen, it's going to drop to the floor. What are we going to do to stop something dropping to the floor? Do you see what I mean? If you're going to prevent something. So the Spirit is trying to bring unity. The Spirit is trying to bring unity. The enemy is trying to destroy unity, because unity is what speaks to the world that God is and that God is in a people. Probably, well, just while I'm struggling to breathe, because I'd probably be jumping up and down and shouting now, so this is good. This is the nearest I've been to Bill Johnson ever. Most Bill Johnson's got asthma. Anyway, I hope he hasn't. I can't do any more with this, really. I just got to ask the Holy Spirit to take that. Some of you will think, that's bonkers, or what's it to do with me? And maybe some will think, okay. So we're in Christ, all in the same position, all of the same standing, and the Lord is asking, he's telling us to that the unity of the Trinity be amongst us. I think this is particularly powerful for this time. We are living in a world that is becoming fractured at a rate that is outstanding. It's accelerating. The me first, hang the rest of you, has become lauded to the point where if you think anything else, you're almost a wimp. Society, the fractures in society between all sorts, between racial groups, groups of people who've got stuff, groups of people who haven't got stuff, religions. It's becoming more fractured. It's almost dismantling before us. The greatest need, I think tying this in, is for people to see. Now, they don't want to just read about, and they don't want to be told about, and they certainly don't want to be preached at, but they need to see a group of people, ordinary people, who have a love for one another and a unity that transcends all of that stuff. Yeah? So in other words, we really need to be aware of what's happening in the world and the temptation and the tendency to separate and to dismiss and to say, it's not my problem, not my problem, not my problem. We need to be going the other way. We need to be saying among ourselves first, your problems are my problems. We are together in Christ. And Christ has prayed for unity among us. And that unity will happen as long as we don't get work against it. Okay, I'll bring it into land now. So could I have the next slide, please? So how should we pray? For unity in the body of Christ, and for us to manifest his glory through that unity. Okay, so for unity to happen, and part of that would be show us where there is disunity, show us where I am not bringing unity. But also, this is what I mean about what are you going to do with it. You are in Christ. You're in Christ. Christ is in you. You are in Christ. That's your position. It won't come up on your Google map thing. But it would be nice if it did. Where am I today? Oh, I'm in Christ. Oh, how long is that? For eternity. Why is that? Because of the cross. How did I get here? I said yes. I said yes to Jesus. I may use all of my last oxygen on a big hallelujah in a minute. And then go right here. That'd be a good way to go, wouldn't it? Oh, no, someone have to ring Jan. Anyway. So could you just, you know, if you're thinking about, because all of this has been, how did Jesus pray? How should we pray right then? To manifest that glory through our unity. In other words, not to just be, well, I'm absolutely fine. My prayer times are going to be great now. I don't have to be worried about fear and all that. Yay, yay. How are you going to use it? How are you going to use it? You're going to pray for others. Yeah? When you go into the storeroom, we talked about the secret place, you're going to go in the storeroom, trust that God is going to meet your needs, and start to pull things off a shelf for others. Start to pray for others. Say, Father, how do you want to bless your people? For the world. Right. Next slide, please. Just this final verse just blew my mind a bit. John 17:9. Go a bit further in the... Go back in the prayer. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world. And that really just banged out of me. I thought, wow. Well, that's a bit selfish, Jesus, really. I mean, I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but those you've given me. So he prays for his disciples then, he prays for us, he doesn't pray for the world. Why doesn't he pray for the world? Who is supposed to be praying for the world? Yeah. That's our job. That is our job. We are the prayers. We are called to bring the needs of those around us. We are called to bring the world before the Father because we are in Christ. We are called to get beyond our hang-ups and our feelings and all that stuff and see that there's a bigger vision, that there's a big vision that God has called us to, which is to bring those needs into that secret place. And that's why it's important when you go to the secret place that you don't just speak, but you listen. Because you need to listen to what the Spirit is saying. This is what I want you to pray about. Okay, that's the end of the preach then. The next slide. Into the deep. Right. Nice one, Max. Okay, next slide, please. Starts March the 1st, 2017. Wednesday in Lent at Woody, 6:30 food, 7:30 till 9 prayer. So for 6 weeks, you in home groups will have heard about this, and for 6 weeks, we're having a season of prayer through Lent. We're talking about prayer, we've had prayer as a priority, and we've been increasing prayer through the fellowship, through various groupings and stuff. But guys, we feel, as a leadership, a season of prayer is now with us. Please. Please, hear what I'm saying here. There's stuff happening. There's stuff happening in the nation. There's great stuff happening among the churches. Heavy stuff happening in the nation. The church needs to take what it has got and come before the Father and start to pray. So I was. So this is the 6 weeks. And the idea is also the community aspect, hence the food. So we meet at 6. And we just have soup and cheese and bread together. And I'd like different groups to host that, maybe home groups. The elders could do one, but different groups would just do those 6 things. And then we have this time of prayer after that. So it's community coming together and then praying. And I think that actually hits 2 areas that we need to pay attention to as a fellowship. Community and then prayer. So 6 weeks. Okay. So six weeks. Home groups haven't been cancelled. They've been moved. And different groups will lead on the prayer. It won't just be the elders doing it. Yeah, so that's the thing. And it's called Into the Deep. I mean, I love this. I don't want this to put you off. It's not just for those who already have got, you know, the sort of high-grade breathing apparatus and they exist in the deep. It's more a picture of us, if you like, standing on the edge of the water with our hands like this, you know, when you're all about to go in together. Because none of us are experts in this. And my call to you as pastor is to say, church, can we hold hands at the edge in the shallows, do the easy stuff, have the soup and bread, and then can we move together into the deeper places? In other words, deeper into prayer together. All right, can you put that in your diaries and stuff? We'll be sort of pushing that each week. But that's me. Oh, I better pray. That'd be good, wouldn't it? Yeah, shall I pray? That's in the contract, isn't it? Father, I thank you so much for the security where your word says, I will watch over my word to perform it. And so I give that all to you, Lord. You know that has been a bit of a struggle, Lord. I just give that to you. And I pray, Father, you would plant that seed where you want it to grow, Lord. And I ask you, Father, to change our thinking on prayer. Change my thinking, Lord. And help me to come. Help me to hear the prompting of the Spirit to come into the place. To lay the stuff down. To listen to you and to bring the needs. Help us, Father, to walk in the unity that you have already given and that you want more of. And help us, Father, to show that unity to the world. And Father, I pray in the name of Jesus for anyone who is struggling, anyone who is now having an inner conflict between a voice that says that doesn't apply to you and the voice of the Spirit that says you are in Christ. In the name of Jesus, silence. Silence to the other voice. Father, in the name of Jesus, would you give each of us a deeper revelation of the fact that we are in Christ. Your name is on us. You've given us your glory, your name, your good name. And help us to walk in that. Amen.